If you're new, if you're visiting, it's great to have you along. I'm Steve Kovitz, and about to preach through Psalm 119 again for our third week, for those of us who have been here for the last couple of weeks. I need a bit of dancing room up here, don't I? Just clear a few things. And as Chris said, we're having signs of grace after the sermon. So this, we'll raise this microphone up a little bit. Please come down the front if you have signs of grace. 20 seconds. Chris said 20 seconds or so. I'm saying 20 seconds. We want signs of grace to be filled with lots and lots of people as we get better at this. And today, if you can, share a sign of grace from God's Word. Over the years, Christians have called our personal Bible reading and prayer time devotions. Sometimes we've called them spiritual disciplines, things we discipline ourselves for spiritually. Sometimes we've called them means of grace. And so if there's been something in the last week where God has particularly helped you from His Word, I don't know, as Alison was bringing us our kids' spot. We're watching the news. We're hearing about all the kerfuffle all around the place. What's going to go on in the US this week? Everything that's going on with COVID around the world and hospitals being filled. Panic, stress, rightly so. That's right. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God help me just calm down when I remembered that God will guide us through this. We've got His word. We've got God. That's the sort of thing we're looking for. 20 seconds, signs of grace. Sound good? All right. Let's get into the sermon. Lynn, thanks for praying that I'll speak God's wisdom and that we'll all hear. Third and final week on Psalm 119. Sitting at the heart of Psalm 119 are two realities. Reality number one is God. As the psalmist prayed to his God, our hearts are filled with this hope and joy as we're reminded that God is good, He is powerful, He's in control, He's full of mercy. Reality number one is God, and reality number two is our world is broken. We sin, we have enemies, we have pain and sorrow. Psalm 119 is about the reality that God is God and that our world is broken, and the psalmist brings these two realities together and he openly dialogues, talks with God about them both. And get this, he expresses his deep joy in God. You see, if our joy only flourishes when everything is going good, when we can clearly see God is God and it's all good, He's in control, if our joy only flourishes then, well then when something bad comes, we'll get depressed, we'll get down, we'll get, woe is me. Or we'll fake it. Oh, the arrows of this broken world don't hurt me. If we only focus on a world that is broken and everything that is going wrong, we'll be fearful. We'll be doom and gloomers. The psalmist powerfully teaches us how to be honest and joyful as we live in our broken world. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 119 through the lens, God is God. Over and over and over, the psalmist prayed with personal pronouns to his God. You are, you say, you do. And we were, as we listened in, we were reminded, God is God. Last week, we looked at Psalm 119 through the lens, God is God, we are not. We are sinful. We live in a broken world. In our world, we have many enemies, and not just people who might be against us. There's disease and natural disasters. This world is broken. And we heard the psalmist plea and plea and plea with his God. He poured out his problems, but his pleas were not hopeless. They were hope-filled because each and every one of them was directed to God. God is good and all-powerful, and the psalmist was sinful and weak and living in a broken world. The psalmist owned both of those realities and had open, honest, personal conversation with God. Over and over, he pleaded with God. And it wasn't doubtful. It wasn't pleading that was full of doubts. This pleading was full of trust and faith and hope. He knew God. Therefore, he knew there was nowhere else to stand. The psalmist was a man of conviction. The psalmist wasn't a whinger, he wasn't a complainer, he was not making his pleas from this state of hopelessness. He made his pleas from a deep conviction. God is God, I am not, and so whether I'm receiving good or whether I'm receiving pain, I stand on this truth: God is God. And so this week's sermon is, God is God, I am not, here I stand. Today we're going to look at some more verses from Psalm 119 that show us the psalmist's devotion to God. He devoted his life to God. And we're also going to look at some verses that show us the psalmist's delight in God. And then I'm going to finish by calling us to all have that same determination. So devotion, delight, determination. That's where we're headed. Now the power of Psalm 119, just it comes from the onslaught. It's 170 verses that just come at us with verses and these little one-liners of personal prayers to God. During the week, I read through the psalm and highlighted all the verses where the psalmist talked about his devotion to God. Are you ready? I will keep your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. I will keep your law continually. I remember your name in the night. I promise to keep your words. I will meditate on your precepts. I hope in your word. I am yours. I hold back my feet from every evil way. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I am your servant. I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. I do not forget your precepts. I will keep your statutes. I do not forget your commandments. The psalmist categorically stated his convictions. He puts before God his deepest intentions. Now, you and I might say, yeah, but are they convictions or simply desires? After all, it's only Jesus that walked the perfectly devoted life. When it comes to devotion, you and I stumble and fumble. Yep. But don't forget last week, the psalmist openly confessed his sin to God. The psalmist was honest with God about his sin. I mean, he finishes the psalm with the confession, I have gone astray. Such honest confession freed him up to be equally bold with his devotion to God. Your ways are true. I trust you. I follow you. I store them in my heart. I declare them to others. God, you are my God. I devote myself to you. When we know God, we can be brutally honest with him. And brothers and sisters, we know this better than the psalmist. We know that our salvation was won, paid for, and delivered by Jesus Christ. We are beggars. who have received heaven's inheritance. Therefore, our only boast is Jesus, not in ourselves, which frees us up to be brutally and beautifully honest with God. The psalmist was able to pour out, God, you are God, good. You are merciful. You love me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Help me. I am devoted to you. He could pray all that together. Knowing God opens us to the freedom of holding simultaneously God's grace, our personal sin, our pain and suffering, our profound need, and our deep devotion. You are merciful. I am a sinner. This really hurts. Help me. I'm yours. All go together with a mature Christian. God is God. I am not. I am sinful. This world is broken. It really hurts me. I give my life to you through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, God is God. We are not. And we devote ourselves to Him. And our stand, this devotion, it's not fatalistic. It's not one of resignation. Ah, the world's broken. I'm a sinner. I guess I better throw my lot in with you, God. No, no. Have a listen now to the psalmist's delight. I will praise you with an upright heart. With my whole heart I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart. In the ways of your testimonies I delight as much in all riches. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Your testimonies are my delight. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I long for your precepts. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. At midnight I rise up to praise you. Next time you're woken up in the middle of the night by that urge to go somewhere, praise God. I delight in your law. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your law is my delight. Oh, how I love your law. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I love your law. I love your testimonies. My eyes long for your salvation. I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Consider how I love your precepts. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. My lips will pour forth praise. My tongue will sing of your word. I long for your salvation. Your law is my delight. Wow. The psalmist rejoiced, he praised, he delighted, he loved, he gave thanks, he marveled. And remember, all of that exaltation sat alongside all of his lamentation. Even in our darkest moment, God is still God. Nothing takes our God by surprise. Earlier, I reminded you that Psalm 119 are all these verses, these sentences that are just coming at us about God and about this broken world, and the psalmist just randomly seems to be talking to God about all these different topics, except for three verses that concentrate on one topic together. They come together. Verses 89 to 91 focus on God's sovereignty, on God's control. Have a listen. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. God, you are sure, you are faithful, you are steady, you are in control, you speak your words, they come true, you are sovereign. They're the only three verses that follow in a row on one topic. And then he follows it up with, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. God is sovereign. He's in absolute control. God is faithful. I so wish I was a faithful parent. My kids would know what they're going to get every single day because I was consistent. Brothers and sisters, our God is. He's faithful, he's sovereign, he's in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. Therefore, it is possible to be in the midst of our darkest moment of our life and delight. Not delight in the pain, not a fatalistic, whatever happens, happens delight. Not a stoic, that doesn't really hurt delight. A delight that comes from knowing God. Not knowing about him, knowing him. God, this hurts. I'm scared. I cannot take any more. I don't see a way out of this. I flood my pillows with tears. I am frightened. I'd better off be dead. But I am so glad that there is nothing in this entire universe that is out of your reach. Help me. And so the psalmist expressed his devotion to God, expressed his delight in God. He was able to have honest conversation that held together these warring realities. God is God and he's good, but I'm sinful and I'm living in a broken world. I have many enemies. And he was able to hold all of that together because he stood on the conviction that God is God and he was not. Brothers and sisters, you and I need that same determination. You see, we will not drift into devotion and delight. Every day there are thousands of temptations to take our devotions. There's thousands of delights to take our delight away from God. We don't drift toward love and devotion and sacrifice to God. It takes determination. It takes thoughtfulness. It takes resolve and energy and effort to treasure Jesus above all other treasures. This is how Don Carson, what he had to say on this. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated. We're steeped in a culture that craves quick fixes. There's a life hack for everything. We're a culture that avoids hard work and discipline and blood, sweat and tears. I mean, why work hard for something when I can buy it on credit? Why devote myself to something when there's so many options? And as for hard work, commitment, resolve and effort, well, that just sounds like hard work. The psalmist did not drift into personal, honest devotion and delight with God. He spent time every day meditating on God's word, not in order to pass an exam, in order to hear from his Maker, his Lord, his King, his Judge, his Father. He spent time in God's word, which meant he could personally and honestly talk with God. Last week I showed how we could all read God's word and pray every day. I read part of my devotion for that morning, 12 verses out of Matthew's Gospel. It took 70 seconds, Dan, was that right, to read those 12 verses. I shared how if we read 10 to 20 verses out of a Gospel every day, we would actually get through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in a year. And if you do the maths, let's say instead of 1 minute, you sort of read for 2 or 3 minutes. How much of the Bible you'd get through in a year? 10 minutes? We might be on to a 3 years, every 3 years, reading through the whole Bible. Reading through the whole Bible in a year is actually doable. And when we allow that Bible reading to come in and then we talk back to God, we start to pray like this psalmist. Instead of our prayer just being this monologue where we talk at God, hey, butler, give me this, I need this, we allow God's word to shape us. And then we start to pray like a joyful, obedient child. Brothers and sisters, this is easy. This is ordinary. It just takes the determination of daily habits with our God. That was last week. This week I wanted to share what it actually looks like. The life of an ordinary Christian, how this plays out. I bumped into one of our church members during the week and he was sharing how difficult life is at the moment. And we are talking soul clinging to the dust, soul full of sorrow, psalmist sort of sorrow in this brother's life right now. And there was a point early on in the conversation where I realized he's going to be okay. It wasn't when he cracked a joke. It wasn't when he quoted a Bible verse. There's been no miracle. But I realized he's going to be okay when he told me that he's having in-your-face conversations with God. God, this sucks. This is not right. Surely death would be better than this suffering. How can this possibly be right? Now, some of you are probably thinking, that sounds dangerous, and you would be right. There is a danger airing our grievances to God. We could be tempted into blaming God. We could be tempted into getting angry at God, both of which would be sinful. But there is a difference between saying, God, you are mean for allowing this to happen to me, and God, I have lost all sense of your goodness. Do you bring your fears, anger, and anxieties to God in order to accuse God or to express your desperate dependence on God? When we know that God is God, we know that we are not. And when we know that we are not, we learn our utter dependence on God. We come to God like a child. I'm scared. This is awful. Help me. Save me. I don't know what to do. Knowing God frees us to talk honestly with God. Psalm 119 teaches us how to be forthright with God without any stain of self-righteousness. It teaches us how to be weak without any stain of self-pity. This psalm is full of honest, personal dialogue. It's an honesty that doesn't whinge, boast, rage, get defensive, but it is full of lament and confidence, anger and honesty. Psalm 119 has become my go-to for learning how to pray. And I've read lots of really good books on prayer, but nothing compares with the open, honest, personal talking with our God of Psalm 119. You know, everyone's anxious about 2021. Is there going to be civil war in the US? Is China going to go to war with the whole world? How many more lockdowns will there be? What's going to be the economic and the mental health outflow from COVID? And those of us who are Christians, as we gaze in on Western governments taking more and more control of freedoms at the moment, how long will it be before Western Christians are thrown into jail simply for preaching Jesus? In my lifetime, I've never experienced such an intense brew of turmoil. There's the very real potential things will get worse before they get better. Now, don't panic. I'm not a prophet. If you're a visitor, that was no prophecy. All I'm doing is looking at the news, looking at what's going on, watching how everybody hates each other on social media, wondering where we're at like you are, trying to ignore the fake news, trying to ignore the conspiracies that are out there, just trying to make sense of it all. Here's what we can know for certain in 2021. You will sin. I will sin. We will be sinned against us. We'll receive some blessings. We are going to experience some heartache. Hopefully, there'll be one or two days where we go, life doesn't get any better. And there might just be one or two days or periods of time where we go, I'd be better off dead. And in between are going to be filled with days of ups and downs, blessings and heartaches. 2021 is going to look like every other year. And that's not just okay, that's good. Because God is God, and we are not. And by His strength, with grace-driven effort, we make our stand. God is God. We are not. And so we pray with the psalmist, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Let's pray, and then we're going to do some signs of grace. Oh, Father God, you sit in heaven and do all that you please. Yes, you are surrounded by angels right now that are all singing, holy, holy, holy. You're faithful. You're true. You're full of love and mercy and majesty, and all your judgments are right. And so, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us to have our conviction, to have our dedication, to devote our lives completely over to you. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your church. And so we pray that you would help us sing with the angels, holy, holy, holy is our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.